Well, we've been talking, been in a series about going to the next level. And I have the message title today called Get Up to Your Next Level. Tell somebody, get up. Get up to your next level. How many of you know the Bible is a manual for life? Does anybody know the basic deal there? The Bible is a manual for life. In fact, there's a little acrostic that says basic instructions before leaving earth. Basic instructions before leaving earth. 2 Timothy 3:16. This is just a few opening scriptures. I want to lay a little foundation. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete. Everybody say, may be complete. Equipped for every good work. Everything else in life that is in the world system can make you incomplete. But the Word of God is here to make you complete. And there's ways that the Lord's Word talks about it. So I want to exhort a little bit here, but I have this unusual scripture in Ezekiel. Look at this one. Ezekiel 4, 46, verse 9. It says, when the people of the land come before the Lord at the appointed feasts, he who enters by the north gate to worship shall go out by the south gate. And he who enters by the south gate shall go out by the north gate. No one shall return by the way of the gate by which he entered, but each shall go out straight ahead. In other words, it says, when you come in to worship, don't leave the same way you came in. If you come in heavy-hearted, the Lord wants to lift the heaviness off your heart as you worship Him. If you come in and you're blinded by circumstance, the Lord wants to give you sight and cause you to see what you have need of. If you're stumbling in your walk, the Lord wants to heal those areas in your life that cause you to walk upright with Him. If you're just plain old stuck, the Lord wants to get you unstuck. Anybody appreciate that? And I want to guarantee you that if you are a regular attender here and you come for ministry down front on a regular basis, let me go ahead and tell you about your soul. Your soul is kind of like an onion, and there's layer after layer after layer. How many of you peeled an onion before? How many of you cry when you peel an onion? It's layer after layer, and you're crying all the time. How many of you, the Lord's been good to you, and as He peels back another harmful layer of things that have happened in your life, a few tears come out, but you start to feel better. An incredible person in our leadership came up to me and shared the reality of something powerful that happened last week in dealing with regrets, and it changed a whole realm of relationships. It really blessed me because I listen to the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want to deal with? And the Lord will say something, and I'll approach Him and build a message around that. And to hear the fruitfulness of people's lives is incredible to see what He's doing. Somebody just praise the Lord with me for a minute. Lord, your word is living and active, and it works. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I want to, one more scripture, John, and then we'll get into the story. One, John 20, verse 30 and 31. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. Can you maybe, there's just tons and tons and tons of things that are not even in the Bible that Jesus did. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. And so I want to stir your faith up today to rise up and be restored in areas that you're not restored in. The Lord says, I want, and you know, sometimes we come in here, we don't have a clue. We just come in, you know, and we lift our hearts to the Lord, and the Lord says, okay, here, buddy, let me go ahead and bring you to a whole nother level of help. And we don't even know before we walk in. Isn't that amazing? How the Lord just suddenly you're aware of a need that you have, and you're like, you've just been, this happened to me actually last Sunday. I used to have this anxiety. I didn't even realize. I just thought because I'm carrying the leadership that it was probably right of me to have a little bit of worry. Isn't that wild? And last week, I went out of here, and I didn't have any worry. I thought, I felt so released. I'm thinking, what happened to me? I feel so good. How many of you gone into the house of the Lord and left different? I did too. Yay me. I'm so happy. We want to stir your faith to walk in His purpose. If you've been stumbling around, we want to stir your faith so that you rise up and you say, because some of you know, how many of you really, truly, He's like, when will I ever get this right? Have you ever had that thought? And the Lord, even today, there's going to be something made right if you respond. The Lord wants to help you leave the losses behind that you've had. And we all got packed those, right? Amen? So I want to pray before we get into the message. Father God, I just right now, I pray that your people would see what they have not yet seen. I ask, Lord, that they would walk where they have not yet walked. And that they would move forward into a deepened relationship with you. Amen. Now, John 5, starting with verse 2, I'm just going to read the story, ending with verse 14. If you have something to look it up, I don't have notes to hand out today, but now this just cue in. Now, there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. The one man was there, had been an invalid for 38 years. Just to wrap your head around that one for a minute. That's a long time. When Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he'd already been there a long time. And he said, "Do you want to be healed?" And the sick man answered, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, so while I'm going, another steps in before me." And Jesus said, "Get up, take up your bed and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath, so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath, it's not lawful for you to take up your bed." The Pharisaical people that are always critical of anything good. Isn't that amazing? People are like that. And they said, he said, "It's not lawful for you to take up your bed." He answered, "Well, the man who healed me, that man said, take up your bed and walk." And they asked him, "Well, who is the man that said this, take up your bed and walk?" And now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, and there was a crowd in the place. And afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." Well, let that one sink in. So here we go. Let's put up this next slide. In these colonnades, these five colonnades, lays a multitude of invalids. And the Bible defines the invalids as in three categories: blind, lame, and paralyzed. Now, there may be some who are physically struggling to see, you know, other eyes. But I want us to look in the same way at this. Are you struggling to see God's purpose for your life? Are you lacking in His vision for what He has for you? Are you struggling to see spiritually? Do you only see negative things, or do you see the positive things that the Lord has for you? Do you have a positive vision from the Lord for your life? Because if you don't have a positive vision for the Lord for your life, you're not going to move toward it. And you would be considered invalid in the realm of lacking vision and blind to the Lord's purpose. And sometimes life comes along and clobbers a person so much, they give up the hope of actually something better happening. But the Lord, if you're here, the Lord wants to whisper into your heart and lift your sights and cause you to see that there's more for you in Him, that He will empower to happen and make happen for you and in you and with you. Also, the lame that's unable to walk. By the way, the Lord says this, "For I know the thoughts I have toward you, thoughts of good, not of evil, to give you a what? A future and a hope." Everybody say, "I got a future and a hope in Christ." In Christ Jesus, I have a future and a hope. Also, it says the invalid are those who are lame, unable to walk. And I want to ask this question. Just think for a minute. What is hindering your walk in Christ? Because the Lord wants to touch that. He wants to help you there. What is hindering your walk? What causes, I know my life, what causes you to stumble? What are those areas where you're not secure in your walk with Him? Have you sown some sin somewhere to keep you from walking with God? God wants to bring healing to that. And lastly, it says that they're paralyzed. And I just say, when you're paralyzed, aren't you stuck? Feel like you're just stuck somewhere? Are you stuck? Where are you stuck? Why are you stuck? Are those good questions? So, now one man was there who had been invalid for 38 years. 38 years. Let's look at the next slide. Loss is defined by something that damages, disadvantages, or deprives you. And I want to say that this man had lost a lot of time. He lost healthy living. And he lost freedom. When I think about that, because sometimes loss can become a lifestyle, isn't that right? When loss becomes a lifestyle, you just stay stuck somewhere. I remember when I was in I had done one ministry time with the Kairos ministry. Some of you know what that is. It's a prison ministry. They go to prisons. And I was there, and I was around a table, and there was this, me and another brother in the Lord had come, and then there was several of the ones who were in prison. And this guy, when he was in prison, his dad had passed away. Now, there's some loss there because he didn't get to go to the funeral. And his heart was full of pain. And I'm sitting there and I said, Lord, what are we supposed to do about this? And the Lord said, go ahead and have a memorial service right now. And so we got up from the table and there was this place we could go in with privacy. And we stood behind there. And we said, well, we're going to have a memorial service for your dad. Would you share the thoughts of your dad? He began to pour out his heart. And we all agreed, you know, with him and started sharing the good thing. And this incredible healing began to happen in his heart. We said, we don't have to be there with them. That's already gone by. But we're going to do it now. And God was there with his favor and healed the brokenness in his heart and the sense of grief that he didn't ever get to grieve about his dad. It came out. He released all that. So he had his memorial service. Because he had been locked up and had lost time. Are you there? How many of you know that that can be painful? Loss of freedom. Has your loss become a lifestyle? Have you, or spiritually blind, or looking to looking at life from what happened to you in the past? How much time has passed? So the Lord wants to bring healing to that. How has not walking? Ask the person next to you. How has not walking with God worked out for you so far? It's not really good, is it? So are you like me? Are you still limping along? Or are you still stuck? Let's look at the next verse. The next verse says, when Jesus saw him there, he knew he had already been there a long time. He knew, and he said, do you want to be healed? In other words, Jesus, he saw him and he knew. Everybody say, he saw and knew. And the Lord, see, among all those people walking in, Jesus saw and he knew. He saw what was going on in this fellow's heart. Both outwardly, he saw what was going on physically, but he saw inside of him. We'll see that later. There's a verse that comes up. And he also knew, not just from outwardly, but he knew what was going on because he spoke to that later. He understands you're in my spiritual condition. And the sick man answered, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool. When the pool is stirred, well, I'm going up another steps before me. And what he's saying is basically, listen to this, guys. Somebody else other than me has to do something for me to be better. Somebody else other than me has to do something for me to be better. Isn't that something? And the Lord is saying, no, I'm going to cause you to have the faith rise up in your own heart, and you be the one that I partner with. The man had an excuse, and people stay a long time lacking freedom and losing time by always saying, I have to have somebody else do it for me. When the Lord's saying, no, I'm going to tell you what to do, and you can do it. Amen. And Jesus said, get up. Yes. Right at him. He looked at him and says, do you want to be healed? He says, well, I need somebody to help me. Get up. Get up. Go ahead and elbow some. Just tell somebody, get up. Get up. Go ahead and open your mouth. Say, get up. Tell somebody, get up. Get up. Say, get up. Say, get up and take up your bed and walk. Get up. And the man, once he heard that, he responded to what Jesus said. He got up and he was healed. He got up and he was healed and he started taking his bed and walking. Basically, Jesus is saying, it's not true that somebody else has to do something other than Jesus himself can do. Jesus himself can do in you what nobody else can do. And when Jesus says, get up, you have the power to get up. When Jesus says, get up, you have the power to get up. How many of you, whenever the Lord says something, his word gives you the power to actually do it? He empowers you to do what you couldn't do once you're here for the Lord. When I'm going through a trial, I go, God, speak to me. God, speak to me. And when the Lord speaks to me, suddenly I have authority in the situation. Because I don't have it in myself. But when I hear him, I can do what I couldn't do before. Come on, tell somebody, this is how it works. Come on, tell them, brother, this is how it works. Tell the person next to you again, get up. Get out of the bed you made for yourself. Get up. Get out of your complacency. Get up. Get out of that whatever's atrophied your walk with God. Come on, get up, get up, get up, get up. Get up on, get up and get over giving up on yourself. God hasn't given up on you. Get up. And he'll break your blindness. Get up, and he'll cause what was lame in your life to be healed. Get up. And what was stuck before won't be stuck anymore. You can respond to the Lord. And everybody here knows it. It's just, will we? And when you are sick and tired of having spent a long time stuck, and the Lord whispers to your heart to get up, you start to rise up. Well, let's just look to the Lord for a minute. Just praise the Lord with me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Afterwards, the Lord shows up in his life and he says, I think we have this one. He says, so afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said, see, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing else or nothing worse will happen to you. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said, see, you are well. Jesus touched him, raised him up, and said, see, you are well. But then he instructs him. And he says, but sin no more. What is the Lord saying here? The Lord's saying, your invalid condition came because a door was open to sin. Not every invalid situation comes because a door is open to sin. But many are blind in their life and have no vision because of a door open to sin. Many are unable to walk with God because they have a wide open door to sin and it's still there. Are you there? Many are stuck and they want to go forward, but they can't because the door is still open. Simply put, he was crippled by his sin. This man was. Now, you can have a car accident. You can have all kinds of things that happen that are not your fault. You know, you can have things that happen in your life to cause you to. But I'm looking at this from your spiritual perspective of your life, where you're going spiritually, where you're going, your walk physically and your walk spiritually. And the Lord cares about all of it. He cares about your physical condition. He cares about your spiritual condition. He cares about your emotional condition. The Lord wants you to know that he's for you no matter what's happened to you or no matter what you've done. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus to those who turn to the Lord. There's none. It doesn't happen. Jesus says, I'm here for you and I want to do things in you that you haven't been able to do for yourself. I want to cause you to rise up and I want to cause you to... There's a hunger to go further. There's a hunger to go further. The Lord's put that hunger in there. Have you ever seen a bucket of crabs? When one crab tries to climb out, the rest of the crabs pull him back in. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever seen that video with all the army guys running to the walls? And they run and one jumps on the other's shoulders and he grabs up and then they pull the others up and then they hang over and they pull them all up. They all help each other get over the wall. Right. Which group you want to be in? Go ahead and tell somebody, I'm going to get in the get up group. I'm going to be in the get up group. I'm going to help people climb the wall. I'm going to help people get through it. I want to support people getting through it, getting over it. Amen? Let's go ahead and praise the Lord for a minute. Thank you, Lord. You are our help, O Lord. You are our help. And we are one another's help in this battle. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Sin will blind you. Sin will cause you to be hindered. Sin will paralyze you. It'll make you stuck. Sin, God can heal you. He can stop the problem. He can. What's amazing to me, as I look back, there were so many points of damage. There's so many points of damage in my life over a period of years. How many of you have had... when you come in here, I just want to declare to you, when you come in here, the Lord has a desire. He always has this desire, but He wants us to see the bruises of the soul healed. He wants us to see the areas of captivity broken. He wants us to rise up to a new place of wholeness inside of our hearts, because the Lord is the healer of the soul. It begins when you open your heart to Him and say, I need a Savior. And when you begin to put your hand in His hand, first the eternal decision happens. But here's how good God is. Before you even make a decision to walk with Him, the Lord is in your life working good. Before you even come to Him, He puts people around you to cause you to begin to awaken that He is good. Before that ever happens, God says, I have things for you that I want to do in and through your life. Somebody say, praise the Lord. When I look around stuff, I'm just aware of, because I've had conversations with you in different ones, and I realize the pathway that you're on, and some of you are really saying, it just depends on the person and how much invalid stuff has happened. You know, years go by. I was blind for so long because of the abuse. Blind for, 20 years or so? Long time. Couldn't see, couldn't function, couldn't walk right. Kept jeopardizing my life. Really stuck, genuinely stuck. And I was mad at myself for it. And I wasn't the one that did it. But I did a lot of the stuff on the inside that partnered with it. I fought, let me tell you one thing I did. I'm going to just step off the idea here for a second. There was one thing that I did, my wife encouraged me to do, and it was a phenomenal thing. There's sometimes you have something that's painful in your life, and you need to go and take it to a graveside and bury it. Does that make sense? And I had this, my wife did this whole thing where she read this book, Love is a Choice, and she went and she took a flower, a rose. She went out and she was going to take this rose and go to a gravesite. And she went out, and as she was going to cut the rose, she saw that the petals weren't perfect. And she was going to pull some off of there so it would be perfect. And the Holy Spirit said, no. Leave them. Because you're not perfect. I want you to take this flower, I want you to put it at your mother's mausoleum, that, you know, going into the gravesite. It wasn't a grave, but it was a place where she could go to the gravesite. And my wife sat down with the imperfect rose, because there was a lot of pressure put on her as a child to become perfect and to be like a little mother with her brother and all this stuff. A lot of stress and pressure, and this childhood being taken away. Are you there? And she laid this imperfect rose at the gravesite, and the tears began to flow, and the heartache began to release, and the grief began to come out. And the Lord says, I'm restoring what was stolen from you. I'm restoring the years that were taken from you to you. I'm giving you back the loss, what was lost. How many of you know stuff can just, you can just carry it with you for years? And I saw the change inside of her. And I went, I need some of that. But you know, as a guy, I didn't do it. How many, it was quite a while afterwards. I don't know if it was 6 months, a year, whatever. It was within that time, I came to a place of, I asked the Lord, I said, well, Lord, I think we had actually moved to another place. We're living in Los Angeles. And finally, I got up saying, Lord, what's between me and you? What's that thing that I need to take to the graveyard? And I saw my dad. I saw the pain. And I said, well, okay, I'm going to go to the graveyard. So I went to the graveyard and I took a notebook with me because I wasn't sure what I was supposed to take. When I got to the graveyard, I sat down and the Lord said, it's not your dad's fist that you took with you. He imparted to you that you weren't worth something, and it was no longer his fist, it was your fist. It was a self-abusive thing. I went, oh my God. So I literally put my hand on the paper and I drew my fist on the paper. I drew my fist and I drew my hand, and I had this, I was going to leave my fist. And so I wrote down, Dad, I forgive you. I'd never done that before. Dad, I forgive you for hitting me with your fist, because what you trained me to do was to hit me with mine. So I took my fist and I drew a picture of my fist and I said, I'm going to leave my fist, self-abuse, at the gravesite. And there was this big stone bench that I was sitting on, and I folded the paper up and I pushed back and I slid it under the stone bench in somewhere in the San Fernando Valley, and I set it there. Left it there by faith and left that gravesite and came home. And Heather looked at me and she didn't see any change. I said, well, I did it by faith. I did it by faith. We went to bed. The next morning, about 4 a.m, I got up to use the restroom. And I was walking from the bathroom back to the bed. And the Lord spoke to me and said, you're free. And suddenly, all of that sense of my own hatred and all this stuff, it just broke and left. I had left it by faith, and the Lord said, we're going to go ahead and release you right now. Boom. And it all left me. And I walked out, and I of course, she was asleep, but I knew, I'm like jumping up and down. Like, who could sleep now? I'm free, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. To take away years and years of heartache and pressure and pain, there's a process. And some of this, let's go ahead and put the next slide up. Some of this is just all ties us back to what sin is. It says, what is sin? Sin is missing the mark. Sin is doing your life on your terms without God. And this is a good definition here. Sin is trying to meet a legitimate need in an illegitimate way. Isn't that right? I have need for sex. So why get married? I have need for whatever. So why do it God's way? And you have pain that enters into life. You have hurts that enter in. Taking something precious without covenant happening creates pain. It just tears the soul apart. Rips it up. Spits it out. Are you there? This is the nature of what trying to meet a legitimate need illegitimate way, because sin brings death and loss to situations, and the consequences of sin's losses are cruel, aren't they? Let's read that. Sin brings death and loss to situations, and the consequences of sin's losses are cruel, and you can end up with a lot of pain. Let's go ahead and... So I want us to look at... First of all, I want to just say this again. I believe the Lord is speaking to someone and to several of us and saying, first of all, he's saying, get up. In other words, there's points of blindness. There's points of where we've stumbled when we're walking, and the Lord says, I'm calling you to get up. I'm speaking into your life and saying, I'm saying to you, rise up, get up. There's another level, and you don't have to stay the same way. You can break through. How many of you heard the little story about the flea? I don't know how true it is, but the little flea, you put the jar on the the flea, you put him in a jar and you put the lid on and he jumps and jumps and jumps and hits his head on the top of the jar. Have you ever seen this? And when you remove the top of the jar, he won't jump out because he's conditioned by hitting his head. But the Lord says, I want to come and remove the top of the jar. And this time when you jump, you're going to come out. This time you're going to be free. This time you're going to step forward. This time you're coming out. Tell the person next to you, get up. Get up. This time it works. This time it makes it. This time Jesus pulls it off. Now there's a scripture in Joel 1:4 and it says, look, I want to talk about the devastation, the cruel of loss, the losses of cruel things that cause loss. There's this metaphor, it says these locusts came in and it was the cutting locusts. Whatever the cutting locusts left, the swarming locusts, they ate that up. And whatever the swarming locusts left, these hopping locusts came in, they ate that. And whatever the hopping locusts left, the destroying locusts came. In other words, loss just kept, you just kept nothing, down to nothing left. And that's what sin will do. Sin will cause it to be where everything's been taken away. But Joel chapter 2, verse 25 says, I will restore to you the years. The Lord is the restorer of the years that have been taken away. And I love this part of it. It says that my people never again will be put to shame. Never again put to shame. Somebody say, hey, hallelujah. Say, oh boy, that's good. Never again put to shame. That's amazing. I haven't been put to shame ever since I buried that fist. Ever since. The Lord says, we're going to deal with this. It's going to be over. You're going to go forward from here. And there were years and years and years that I struggled under that whole sense of damage. And the Lord doesn't want you struggling under the sense of damage. Somebody praise the Lord with me. Because in the room, there are things that have been stolen from you. In the room, there's been an invalid state where you haven't seen right, haven't walked right, and been stuck. Is that right or wrong? Let's go ahead and stand together for just a moment. I want to just take that, if you wouldn't mind, take the hand of a person next to you there. I want to lead us in a prayer. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Would you pray this with me? Say, Father God, thank you for loving me completely. It is my desire to be completely restored. As I stand here before you, I ask for your grace to empower me, for your love to overshadow me. It is my desire to be healed. It is my desire to rise up. Now go ahead and let go of the hands if you would, and just, if you wouldn't mind, lift them up before the Lord. I'm going to pray over your hands right quick. Lord, just like mine, wherever the hands have damaged or been a part of damaging anything, I ask that your cleansing power come over the hands right now. I just ask for you to release blessing and cause these hands to be cleansed. I pray for the eyes. Whatever horrors have happened, I pray, Lord, your cleansing touch over the eyes. Lord, there's many that heard scarring things. They've heard scarring things, and you already know this. And there's a sense of entrapment. I pray for your blood and your grace over the ears, that you begin to release the pressures that have come through negative things off of the ears and off of the mind. In the name of Jesus, let's praise him now. Let's praise him. We thank you, Lord, for you are the restorer. You restore us, Lord. You restore what the years that have been stolen. You restore them back. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Now I want to invite you, now that you're standing, I do want to invite every single person to come forward and just, let's come and open up to the Lord to be restored.